Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Brian Wilkie speaking. Today our theme is, This Gospel is for You. Here's a few words from the Word of God. Isaiah 30, verse 15 reads, This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. And later Isaiah speaks the Word of God in chapter 49, He speaks a great word of hope. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, You are my servant, Israel, in whom I display my splendor. But I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God. And now the Lord says, He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and to gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is a gospel lesson, a prophecy, a message that is so in tune with the season of Christmas that is so rapidly approaching. It's a prophecy about Christ. It's a prophecy about the one that God has sent to not only restore Israel to himself, but to bring back all the scattered nations of the earth to himself. It's a message that the gospel is for you. It's a message that God has labored to reach all his people, every person in the world, with the message of salvation, so that you can receive Christ, so that you can have forgiveness, so you can be reconciled to God. This gospel for you is a gift of forgiveness, and it is for you. It's a call to a new way of living, and it is for you. It is a demonstration of God's love, and it is for you. It's not business as usual, the world going on as it always has, a small adjustment to our daily grind. It is a world-shattering, total renewal, a whole new creation, and it is for you. This is the theme of our message today, this gospel that is for you and for me and for all the earth. And we're going to hear more about that, but let's listen to the expression of joy that has been so familiar to us through centuries, as we hear the singing of O Come All Ye Faithful, sung by the Mississauga Massed Choir.
Oh,
message, O Come All Ye Faithful, is a message calling all people to faith. God calls us to come, and in coming to Him, we are faithful. He's issued an invitation, and to all who respond, He gives new life. The gospel is for you. And it is for you because God loves you. He loves you as the one who made you and knew you before you were born. He's watched over you lovingly and attentively all your days. He has held you, carried you, and taught you, though you rarely knew it was Him who guarded your life. He knew all your faults and still loves you. He suffered on the cross and still loves you. He was betrayed and abandoned by you and still loves you. The gospel is for you. It's a gospel that's for you because you need salvation. You are lost without God, and you are terminally ill with sin. You are infected with a selfishness that will destroy you, and God wants to save you. You need salvation whether you are on top of the world or at the bottom of the heap. Such circumstances don't change the main feature of your life. You are in a mortal body, in a mortal world, and like that world, you are passing away. Death is ahead, and only salvation will carry you over that flood. Once saved, you wear that salvation like a suit of armor, for you need it every day. You need God's life in you to survive the daily decay of this present life. The gospel is for you because the Father has honored Jesus with the glory of saving you. The Father did not surrender His Son for nothing. Jesus did not endure the cross to no effect. God is committed to saving you. He is not satisfied that your life should continue dark and purposeless, filled with the grotesque pride, fiery temper, stubborn bitterness, festering sadness, and sin. It's a gospel that's for you. I want to read to you another section of Scripture that speaks about the need for repentance, even repentance within those who are followers of Christ. When John received a revelation on the island of Patmos, the first part of the revelation was very, very clear, and it was messages to the churches of the surrounding area. And this is what God said through John in the book of Revelation to the church of Ephesus. He said, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. The message of repentance is for us. It's a message of repentance to all people. It's a repentance that begins with the moment of surrender of one's life to Christ, and it's a repentance that continues throughout our lives. Repentance seems like a bad word to many people, but it's actually, though often painful, it is a great gift that God gives us. Repentance is not only the need to turn away from sin, but it's God saying it's possible to change. It's possible to be transformed. And He gives us the capacity to do that. We're in the season of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We're in the season when we think about that little babe born in a manger. But think about the joy that came with Jesus. The joy that came when the angels sang and the shepherds rejoiced, when the wise men brought their gifts and bowed down in worship. The worship of God is joy. And even turning away from sin, turning away from old habits, turning away from selfishness, is actually the route to joy. Many people stay away from Christ, thinking that He will not bring them joy, but rather sadness. But the message of the gospel is to come and see, to come and see what Jesus brings. This next song that we're going to listen to is a song that's become popular. It's a recent Christmas carol, Mary, Did You Know?, which speaks so much of the wonderful work that Jesus did, the wonderful things that he accomplished, and the wonderful identity that is his, the identity of the Redeemer, the one who has come to deliver, the one who has come to save. Let's listen now to Mary, Did You Know?, performed by Kathy Mattea.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God.
The gospel which is for us, the gospel which comes in Jesus Christ, the deliverance that he brings, is a gospel of repentance and faith. It's a gospel of holiness. Not that it merely demonstrates the holy love of God in the face of human sin, but it's a gospel which creates for God a holy people, a royal priesthood, a fellowship of sanctity for the glory of the Son. This means that the gospel is, for us, a gospel of change for us. It's not just information. It's a gospel of transformation. I want to just take a moment for those who may feel alienated from the church, who feel that the church is often a cold and difficult place to be part of. Do you realize that everybody who has become a Christian is someone who has recognized that they are sinners? That doesn't stop them instantly from being sinners. They're going through a process of transformation. We all are going through a process of transformation. And it can be difficult to see people in the process of recovery. But that doesn't make the church filled with hypocrites. It makes the church filled with people in the process of being transformed. And oddly enough, God uses those very circumstances of meeting people, warts and all, to teach us to love one another more. Entering into a body of believers, not just loving God all by yourself, but loving God and your neighbor, is the message of holiness that God brings us. And when we go into a gathering of other people who are trying to learn how to love one another, we do sometimes get bruised. We do sometimes say the wrong thing and hurt somebody else. But God, by His Holy Spirit, wants to work in that mix to bring people to a greater love. And so, as this gospel of holiness works its way into our lives, we join in loving others as God has loved us. This gospel of holiness is a gospel that calls us to turn, and this repentance that we have to do is due to our sin and due to the birth of love within us. Because sin is wrong. We need to turn from those things that are wrong. Jesus died in order to end sin, and so we who believe in Jesus, who love Jesus, who trust Jesus, we also want to put sin to death in our lives. We offer our lives to God. We offer them to receive new life, but we offer them also to put to death the old, the wicked, the selfish within us. Note that we don't put sin on a short leash. We put it to death. Repentance is because of love, for love constantly turns from selfish goals and offers the sacrifice of time, possessions, comfort, and so on as a gift to the beloved. We offer the energy and the time we used to spend on selfish pursuits to God, and He directs us into the life of faith, into the life of service, into the life of love. And this is a gospel of faith. Because repentance is a change of mind. Repentance is changing your thinking. It's a change from trusting self to trusting Jesus. It's a change from believing in the principles of the present culture to believing in the revelation of God. It is a gospel of faith because it takes courage and trust to invest in heavenly treasure and to risk this tangible life and body for a heavenly future and an immortal life. It takes faith to repent. It takes faith to let go of those things you've trusted in the past, the things you thought secured you. Maybe it was putting others down that made you feel like you were better, and you need to stop trusting in scorn and mockery and start to trust in the love of God. Maybe it was trusting in financial security and using all kinds of schemes and so on to get the better of others and try and accumulate treasure on earth for yourself. It takes trust to take our earthly treasures and invest them in the kingdom of God, in the service of others, knowing that our only hope is that heavenly treasure that God says He is storing up for us. This is a gospel for you. This gospel of faith, this gospel of repentance, this gospel of holiness, this gospel of love, it's a gospel for you and it's a gospel for now. It is a response in you to Jesus' call. Some describe the moment of conversion as though God Himself were pushing them to the altar, as if the Spirit wells up in them, overcoming their resistance and moving them to say, "Yes, Lord," at the invitation to surrender all to Jesus. You become a Christian when you begin to turn from all these other things, when you begin to repent. And repentance continues to mark every step of the Christian walk. It's not always a repentance of tears. More often, it's a joyful discovery of the right path, of the opportunity for service. But often, we do need to return to our first works. Often, we do need to return to our first love, to repent again, and to remember again that our life is no longer our own. How many times has God caught us drifting, our love grown cold, our faith weak, our flame all but extinguished? How many times has our yes to Jesus become, "Well, maybe later, Lord"? How many times has our yes to Jesus become, a quiet no, I don't think so. This same Jesus calls us again to reignite our first love for God, to repent and believe. He calls us deeper into the glory and mystery of his grace. He calls us onward and upward in the wondrous adventure of holy service. So I want to give you the opportunity to show what God is doing in you right now, to give voice to what the Spirit is saying in your heart. You can pray, even now, a prayer that says yes to Jesus, that says no to sin, that thanks God for the gift of grace that brings you back into a walk with him, that gives you hope that you actually can have a transformed life. Pray. Receive the Lord. Rejoice anew in his salvation. And fix in your heart again to receive the gift that we celebrate in the Christmas season, the gift of a Lord and a Savior who comes to dwell within us and who promises to be with us always. Let's take a moment now to pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for this season of Christmas when all around us are reminders of your love. The carols that are being sung, the warm greetings that are being exchanged, even the secular symbols of Christmas, the commercial sales and the lights and the decorations, they all remind us that the world was turned upside down by your great love. That this day marks not just a birth in a stable in Bethlehem, but the birth of a new hope. Thank you, Jesus. Accept us, Lord, as we receive the love that you've given us. Accept us and renew us and restore us in your holiness, in your grace, and in your love. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to thank you, listeners, for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. You keep us on the air week by week. If you can, please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please also tell others about this program, and don't forget to visit our website. You will find several of our programs available on podcasts. Don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Now, to conclude our program, here is a song sung by Carolyn Ahrens from one of my favorite Christmas albums, which is titled An Irrational Season. The song is Bethlehem Too Far Away? May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
If we close our eyes, can we see the star? Can we find our path in its light? And if we are still, tell me, can we hear the song of the angels tonight? Can we find our way to the baby king? Can we worship him now in the hay? Can we believe he can change everything? Or is Bethlehem too far away? We dream our dreams with our wisest hearts. Will we dream of peace on earth? Will our lips proclaim glad tidings of a wonderful counselor's birth? Can we worship him now in the hay? Can we seek Him, we will find Him in the least expected place. For His kingdom comes in the power and might of His sacrifice and grace.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.